is that we give him a hearty hand clap. So would you join with me? Praise God with giving him applause for what he's doing. We talk about his grace, we talk about his mercy, but it's nothing like seeing his grace and mercy at work. That a young lady that had cancer is now going back to work. To me, that's me sitting back and seeing a miracle of the Lord. But I guess you need to give it a little more thought. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the 28th chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the 28th chapter. And we started off here last Sunday, and I just want to go a little farther in verse number 19 so that we will understand clearly what God has called us to do. The picture that you should bring in your spiritual mind is that Jesus was resurrected, and his 11 disciples met him in Galilee. And at that meeting, Jesus makes this powerful statement that they didn't totally understand, but they accepted it. Jesus says, "All power, all authority has been given to me by my Father." I think sometime when we read the Bible, instead of taking each verse and taking it apart so that we can have the total impact of what Paul or the writer or Matthew or Luke has placed before us, is we read it as we would read a regular book, and we miss all that he's saying. In verse number 19, Jesus goes on to say, "Go therefore and make disciples of all, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Let's bow. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your plan for our lives. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Now, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we ask that your Spirit will take control of our time, that you would illuminate your will and your word in the hearts and minds of everyone seated here, that you would minister to us individually and collectively. This morning, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to know your plan for our lives. We want to know what you would have us to do as your children. So, Lord, we pray this morning that through your Spirit, you would speak to us, that you would teach us, that you would give us understanding. As we leave this building, we will be part of your transformation process, and that we will go forth to serve you and to do that which you've called us to do. This we ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, one of the things that, if I were sharing my heart with you, there are three things that in my heart moves me, that I desire to do, that I long to do.
One we talked about last week was evangelism. Going out and sharing my faith with the lost. Sharing what God has done in my life. Sharing the gospel with those that are lost and on their way to hell. Secondly, is the point of disciple. In essence, what God has called us to do, and I'm going to get a little closer into it, but I'm sharing my thoughts, is being able to be part of God's transformation process in helping those that are learners to come to understand their relationship with God. Thirdly is the point of counsel. No greater joy that I have is to see people's lives turn to the Lord and they give themselves totally to the Lord, and that through opening God's word, those issues that they have in their lives are addressed and they come into a stronger foundational relationship with God. In these few verses here, God says to his disciples in verse number 18, it's, you back up to 19, to, excuse me, to 18, and it says, all power, dunamis power. Power, when we break it up, is that word that we use for dynamite. All power, all authority has been given to me by the Father. That says that we need to understand that it is complete authority. It is complete power that has been given to him. And he says to us as we go into verse number 19, is because you understand that I have this level of authority and power now, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and reproduce yourself with the lost. Reach out to those that do not know God. Reach out to those that are lost. And help them to be also become disciples. This is a command from Christ. It comes out of his authoritative position. He's saying to us that we are to instruct and to require. He even goes on to say even more so that this is an imperative command. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just something you do if you want to do. But he goes on and says, this is an imperative command. This is a vital thing that you do. This is something that is crucial for you to do. This is something as a disciple of mine that is essential for you to do, and that is to make disciples. I think that sometimes we hear the voice of God and we don't understand the authority that comes with that voice. I can remember living in my home and my mother telling me to do something. And in my mind, I had an option to do it or not to. But when my father spoke, there was no option in my mind. Because he had all authority in the house. I can remember every Saturday night, there was 10 children in my family. And we would be in the living room watching television. And my father would walk in. He would sit down in his Barco lounger and he would say, this is what we're watching. He said, turn the television into gun smoke. Nobody questioned or said, we're watching this, because his authority was understood. And what God wants us to understand is that that is the level of authority that God the Father has given him. And when he speaks to us with this resurrected voice, when he speaks to us with his divine voice, when he speaks to us, you know, in his own words, that we recognize that it is God that is speaking to us. And that he's speaking to us, and if he's speaking to us in an imperative command, that he's saying to us, this is what you are to do. And God says to us, I establish the purpose for your life. And when I speak to you, as it says in Revelation 1, verse 15, it's like the sound of rushing waters. So you know that you're hearing from God because the sound becomes a familiar sound out of your relationship with him. And because of your relationship with him, and you understand that he has a purpose for your life, and your purpose is tied into eternity, that when he says to you, this is what I want you to do, I want you to make disciples, then you submit and you do it. The Bible makes it clear to us is that we are to obey God. That your salvation definitely does not depend on the work that you do. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. And that your justification is not tied into the work that you do, but into the blood of Christ. But he is saying to you that there is a path that I want you to walk. There are things I want you to do, and you have a responsibility to do them. In verse number 19, he says, make, which is part of God's creative activity, as we know in Genesis, the second chapter. And he goes on to say, you are to make, to bring into existence, to cause something to exist. So you are part of that creative process of making and bringing into existence disciples. In the Greek, we understand that we're talking about to make new. And we understand that we become new creations in Christ Jesus. That we are to make full in his Holy Spirit. That we are to make complete in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6, 9, and 10. That we are made complete and endowed with his grace. So we understand that this whole process of making is tied into God's creative process through his Holy Spirit. Then he uses the other terminology in these two words, disciples. You know, for a long time in my life, I did not concern myself about being a disciple. My concern was only one, that I was saved. But that is not what God's about. God is about us living out his commandments in our lives and reaching out to the lost and bringing them in. As disciples, we are supposed to be reproducing ourselves. Let me help you to understand something. If you win one person a year to the Lord, if you disciple one person
Let me check this out.
If you disciple one person a year, do you know that within 2 years this auditorium will be full? If you just win, you just disciple one lost person. I keep throwing that win in there, but if you disciple just one person a year, this auditorium will be full. In the city of Philadelphia, you know what group reaches out more than any? Some people would say it would give over witnesses, but it's not. It's the Muslims. They are, I call it, ravaging our community. Secondly, is the Jehovah's Witnesses. In this study that Barner had online, is that the reason that Christians don't disciple is because we're afraid. We're afraid to witness to the lost. We would rather see them go to hell than for us to share, to disciple, to win them. What we need to come to understand is that as we are discipling, as we are reaching out to the Lord, we're not doing it by ourselves, but we're doing it under the power of Christ. The church has a responsibility to reach the lost for Christ. To reach the cross, the lost, with the gospel of Christ, to develop those that are learners, those that are students of the word, those that are apprentices of the word, that they may grow in their relationship with God through this understanding of his word, and that they will then reproduce their selves, and it becomes a continuing process of winning the lost to winning the lost to God, and then they reproduce their self, and they reproduce their self, and then we have this great impact on our community. Believers are supposed to be taking the lost in their infancy and bringing them to maturity in Christ, so that they may represent Christ under his authority. Now, this narrative that we read in verses 18 to the end of Matthew, the 28th chapter, sets up the responsibility of his church to be obedient to what God has called us to do and to be about making disciples. God's commandment for us to make disciples is not something that we do when we want to, but we do it because God, who has all authority, has called us to do this. Now, one of the things we need to understand that in this whole process, as we work to make disciples, we are going to be under attack. The adversary will come after us. But even as the adversary comes after us, and we understand he will come after us with rulers, with authorities, with powers of the dark world, with spiritual forces of evil, we understand that as we are doing what God has called us to do, he's not left us out in this world alone, but it is God working with us, because as we will go a little farther, we'll find that he says he will never leave us or forsake us as we're doing what he has called us to do. We need to become more active as a church in reaching the lost for Christ. The Bible says that the quality of a church is tied into the fact that the center of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being taught, that the doctrine is solid,
and that we are making disciples. The goal of discipleship is the transformation of lives. The transformation of lives. The amazing process of God where his children are transformed to be the same as he is in the light, in life and in their nature. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. And if I were to give you an example of what this transformation process is, we all have heard of the process of metamorphosis and the point of how a caterpillar becomes a bird. Back that up. How he becomes a butterfly. But there is another process of metamorphosis, and that is when a petrified tree is thrown into the water, and by the water continually impregnating that tree, it becomes a stone. And what God wants to do in our lives is he wants to take your life and allow the living water to flow through you, that you become a stone of righteousness for him. And that process is something that goes on for all of your life here. It is not just something that happens very quickly. The Spirit of God wants to work in you and through you to win and to disciple. Take that win out. To disciple the lost. If you remember in John, the fourth chapter, starting at the fourth verse and going through to the 28th verse, you have the story of the woman at the well. And God says to her in verse number 10 that he has this gift. And if she would receive this gift, she would have living water. The gift that God is talking about here is Jesus Christ, Isaiah the 9th chapter. But he breaks this gift down of this living water to water that is grace, that refreshes, that comforts, that revives, that cheers, that abides in us, that gives us everything that we need. It's a spiritual life to your soul. We become transformed into the image of God. If we are to transform lives, it first starts with us, that we must turn our heart to God. Along with turning our hearts to God, we must understand that this transforming process is something that goes on through our whole life. It's not just a momentary thing. Now, as a church, knowing that God has called us to make disciples, we have a responsibility. The responsibility that we have now is how do we do it? How do we make disciples? First, we have to be trained in how to do evangelism. We're going to do that between now and next spring. Then we're going to go out and we're going to share the gospel with everything that moves, except the dogs and cats. And then once we share our faith and that person accepts the gospel, then we're going to teach, we're going to train, we're going to work with that individual until that individual has gotten to the point where now they can go out and share their faith.
our process is going to be able to win homes, families, communities to the Lord. That's what God has called us to do. We are no longer a four-wall church, but we are a church that is going to impact this community. We are a church that is going to change this community for the Lord. Your part, God has already outlined. God has told you that He has called you to make disciples. He has called you to witness and to share the gospel with everyone that you can. On the bus, on the subway, in your house, in your community, on your job. You have to become the point where it bothers you if you go a day without sharing your faith, where you go a day without sharing the gospel, that it bothers you if someone in your family you know are on their way to hell and you're not praying for them, you're not keeping their name before the Lord, and you're not doing all you can to get them to come to a saving faith in God. That's what God has called us to do. Not to get saved and sit on a pew and wait for Him to call us home. We are part of building His kingdom. And building His kingdom is for us to be discipling and sharing the gospel with everyone that we come in contact with. And one of the things we have to deal with is that if they say they know the gospel, we have to even challenge them that they know the real gospel. Evangelism, discipling, are God's heart. Are we going to meet Him at His heart and do what He has called us to do? He then goes on to say that once the lost are brought to Him, that we are to then baptize them. Baptism is just a process of an outward expression of an inward change. That's the fundamental thing I learned when I was in Sunday school. And then he said, after that we baptize them, we make sure that we baptize them in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, after you baptize them, that you then go for a whole teaching process, that they may know the gospel, that their understanding of the gospel is clear, that their understanding of the gospel has impacted their lives, and that they can now use that same gospel to impact somebody else's life. Now, I know some of you, when I come to you, they're going to say, you know, I don't want to do this. But I want you to understand, from my experience, there is no greater joy that you're giving up than to witness to someone that is lost and they give their life to the Lord. You can't imagine the joy until you do. The first time I witnessed and shared my faith, the person closed his door in my face. I thought, no way, that's it. No more. Matter of fact, let's get to the car because I'm finished. And my wife looked at me and she said, is that what Jesus wants you to do? And we witness shall pray for 6 weeks on the street before the first person accepted the Lord. I got in the car and I was elated. And I know it wasn't me. It was the movement of God's Spirit. But that He would allow me to play a part in what He could do without me. I was excited. You need to make a commitment today that you are going to evangelize, that you are going to disciple, and that you're going to be part of God's plan that He has called you to do. That you can experience what He will do based on that in your submission. Now I want you to understand there's going to be conflict. And the biggest conflict that you're going to have is you. That you don't want to do it. You're going to come up with a way of disagreeing with God. Now, I know some of you know how to do that now. But God wants you to understand that the only resolution to your conflict is that you submit to His authority. As you submit to His authority to make disciples, then all of your excuses like needing sleep, like work, like football, and all of those things, He will take precedent over as you submit to Him. You know what is your point of reference as a Christian that you should be discipling? The cross. What He has done for you on the cross should be your only point of reference that you need to be out the same. Winning the lost to Him. Sharing the gospel with them. Knowing that He lived, that He died, that he was buried, that He was resurrected for you. That He has forgiven you of your sins. Should be the only reference that you need to be out sharing your faith. That should be all that you need. In Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 25th verse, it says that if you reject God, and His will, and instead you pursue your own will for your life, you are the one that will have the ultimate loss. If you reject God and His will for your life, you are the one that will have the ultimate loss. Now, Matthew Let me go here before I go there. In John, the 4th chapter, and the 35th verse, Jesus speaking says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe for harvest. In essence, what Jesus is telling us is that the harvest for the kingdom is ripe for us to be out doing evangelism and witnessing. That He needs spiritual workers in the harvest. He needs people that have the zeal for souls, that have the great energy, the enthusiasm, the passion, the love, and the devotion to go out into the fields where it is white and with the harvest and to win souls through utilizing His gospel. We are encouraged to go out into the fields
starting in your Jerusalem, and to win those to God. Now, he then goes on to say in verse 20, as we will close there, that in your teaching, you teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. You teach them to obey the ordinances of the church. You teach them to obey the moral duties of that they're responsible for. You teach them to have to keep their obligations to God and to man. And he puts there, surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. So what he wants us to understand, that as we go out and as we evangelize, as we disciple, he is with us. That when we find ourselves in a battle, we're not in the battle by ourselves, because he is with us in all battles that we will have. That his grace will sustain us. He promises to assist us. He is the guardian for our victory. Because of his authority, because of his power, we are going to be victorious. And then he wants us to understand that he's not going to leave us, but that until the end of the age, his plan is perfect. His power gives us peace. He will never leave us or forsake us. So, what am I saying to you? Very simple. God has called us to evangelize and to disciple as a church, to reproduce ourselves in the lives of those that are lost. How we do it, there are a number of ways that we can do it, but this is what he has called us to. And he says it's not a suggestion, but it's an imperative that we be discipling in our homes, in our communities, in the world. Father, we just thank you for our brief look into your word in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We know, Lord, that your plan is perfect. Your will is perfect. And that we need to submit to what you have called us to do. Lord, you say in your word that as we do what we are supposed to do, you will add to the church as you choose. As we look at Philadelphia, and as we even look at South Philly, there are lives that need to be reached for you. There are people that are lost that need to hear your gospel. Lord, as we go forward in this year and go into next year, help us to prepare ourselves to be able to evangelize, to be able to disciple, that we may reproduce ourselves in the lives of the lost, and that they may continue the process to the point where we become a church that is weekly evangelizing and discipling, building your kingdom here on earth, doing your commandment as you have called us to. We know, Lord, that this is part of your heart, because you took time before you ascended to give us this imperative command. So I pray, Lord, that you would just bless our time this morning. cause your word to sink deep in our hearts. Challenge us to turn our lives over to doing evangelism and discipling, that we may, as school students, as adults, share our faith as you give leadership and direction. This we ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen.
Stand together as we sing together, we remember.